You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
To you, men and women of my beloved audience, 14 years we have been together and we are still going and growing strong. And I'll tell you, folks, I still look forward to coming in every night. I look forward to being with you each and every Saturday evening here on TPC. And this week's show is no different. I was looking forward to this show several hours in advance. I couldn't wait to get into the studio and share this time together as we do each and every week. And this is just a show that I hope we can make it through. You know, we've got our producer, Nicole, tonight is 35 weeks pregnant. 35 weeks, and she is here punching the clock this evening and with us. I've been waiting all week to get a call from her saying she wasn't going to be able to come in. But 35 weeks. And she is carrying her daughter, Estella. So I guess Estella is in the studio tonight with us as well. And that's the kind of crew we have here, ladies and gentlemen. There's a lot of people behind the scenes that make this show work. And we have a fantastic support group. And I want to thank Nicole publicly for being able to come in tonight. Sam Bushman, who is the owner of the network, who produces for us quite often and board ops for us quite often. He is out of town tonight on the other side of the country, on the East Coast. And so Nicole is in. We've worked with Nicole off and on for many years. She's fantastic and coming in tonight with an extra special load. And I just wanted to let you know all that. That's some of the things behind the scenes that you never know, but they take place. And it just helps us continue what I believe to be the best year of broadcasting that we've ever had. I don't think we've ever had a year. Every year has been good, don't get me wrong. But I don't think there's ever been a year, let me put it like this, where I have worked as hard each and every week as I have this year. Each and every show we've had, starting with the very first show on Saturday, January 6th, 2018, every show we've had has just been, I believe, one barn burner after another. And that very first show we had this year, we had an assortment, an all-star assortment of guests, and we were asking them how they expected this year to go. Some predictions that they had for the current year. And that very first show of 2018, we featured Richard Spencer, Kyle Bristow, Henrik Palmgren, Jared Taylor, Dr. Michael Hill, Patrick Casey of Identity Europa, Sam Dixon, and David Duke. That was all of those gentlemen, all eight of them appeared on the same show, taking one segment apiece. And so tonight, I thought it would be a good idea to kick off a two-week midsummer review. So that's what we're doing. It's going to be sort of like that first show, except we're going to extend it over the course of 2 weeks, and we're not going to have as many guests. I think we've got six guests appearing over the course of the next 2 weeks, and we're going to give each of them a little bit longer than we gave the guests that first show of the year. But basically what we're going to be doing tonight is a midsummer review this week and next week with a select group of program mainstays, during which our esteemed guests will offer their assessments on how the current year is progressing thus far. So that's what we're going to be doing. It starts tonight. It continues next week, TPC's midsummer review, and we're going to have interviews with Brad Griffin, Paul Fromm, Kevin McDonald, Jared Taylor, and Mark Weber over the course of the next 2 weeks. And we're going to be asking each of our guests, we're going to be asking them the same questions. We're going to be asking them, how do you think the current year has progressed for our movement to date, of course? We're going to get updates on their work, and we're going to be asking them to chime in on some current news items that have piqued their interest. So that's what's going on over the course of the next 2 weeks. Very excited to be able to present this series to you, and very excited that we're going to have a little family reunion of sorts with all of these men, have been good friends of mine for years. And did I mention Paul Kersey? Paul Kersey is going to be on the show. I don't even think I mentioned that. Paul Kersey, Brad Griffin, Paul Fromm, Kevin McDonald, Jared Taylor, and Mark Weber. So I guess is that seven people? Over the course of the next 2 weeks, we've been really booking them up this year. But that's why I played the song that we did there at the beginning. It's an uplifting song, United We Stand. It's one thing I'm so proud about when it comes to TPC. All of these men and all of the people we've had on this year, going back to last week with Henrik Palmgren, Jesse Lee Peterson, Tom Kaczynski. You look back on all the people we've had a Confederate History Month series, obviously, this year. Every major event that has taken place this year, we broadcasted live from, and I've spoken at two of them, the American Renaissance Conference, we were there, the Nationalist Solutions Conference, we were there, the League of the South Conference, we were there. So we're taking you behind the scenes at all of these major events. We're having special series like the Confederate History Month series. We had a nice TPC post 4th of July spectacular earlier this month. We did a special report when I went to Central America. I gave you the skinny from Belize and Honduras and Mexico. And in addition to that, just the fantastic guest every week, Simon Roche, Paul Fromm, Paul Ramsey, so many Pauls, Paul Kersey, Paul Fromm, Paul Ramsey, Pastor John Weaver, Kirk Lyons, Paul Craig Roberts, Peter Brimelow, Professor Andrew Fraser, Virginia Abernathy, Nathaniel Kapner, Brother Nathaniel, Nick Griffin, Lana Lochteff. All of these people have appeared on the show this year, and there's so many more that I'm forgetting, but I'm just scrolling through the list of guests that we've featured since January. Every week has been a must-listen-to broadcast. In the next 2 weeks with this special midsummer review series will be no different. But United We Stand, that was the song. TPC must stand alone. It must. And that's one thing the SBLC got right about us. We are a nexus, or maybe the nexus. You look at all of these different leaders, fantastic men, each and every one. But not all of them work well together, but they all work well with us and us with them. There is not one leader in our movement that I think has ever said a negative word about TPC. We are well respected and much appreciated across the board, and it's just, I think, a testament to our professionalism and work ethic and our ability to see the greater picture, the bigger picture, and unite for a cause greater than ourselves. And yes, we're very proud of our portfolio. We're very proud of the things we've accomplished. Thanks to you, our loyal listening audience, giving us the ability to go out and do these things. But it's all for a cause greater than ourselves, and we're proud that we're able to work well with others and that others appreciate the way we go about doing our business. So we're going to continue that tonight, if that's okay with you, ladies and gentlemen. And it's going to continue in our very next segment when we welcome Paul Kersey to the show. And he's going to kick off our midsummer review series. So stay tuned.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Getting the kids to school, cleaning the house, doing the laundry. It seems that the work routine as a stay-at-home mom is never ending. And even though I'm the prime grocery shopper in our family of four, I simply don't have time to scrutinize all the labels on the countless food products I buy. Oh, sure, I've noticed all the latest certification seals. Organic, non-GMO, gluten-free. It definitely seems to be the latest craze. But it was only recently that kosher certification seals caught my attention. You see, my husband had me download an app called Kosher-tified, and it shed light on a century-old certification industry that slipped under the radar screen from the majority of our public. I also noticed a question mark at the end of the app name, and that makes great sense as there's far more questions regarding this industry than answers. In fact, the developers refer to this as the kosher question. Sure, I'm a busy mom and didn't pay attention to our food culture, but now I have transparency, a convenient grocery list feature, and the ability to eat in favor of my family's best interests, and you can discover it too at thekosherquestion.com.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, now that we've got the opening banner out of the way, let's go ahead and dive into TPC's special two-week midsummer review series. And the fellow that I wanted to kick things off for us during the special series is the one and only Paul Kersey. Paul is the editor-in-chief of the wildly popular website SBPDL, author of several books, including Whitey on the Moon, Escape from Detroit, and Because We Live Here, his anthology, which you should most certainly check out. He's back on TPC this evening to help kick off that series I just mentioned, the Midsummer Review. Paul, always a pleasure to have you on the show.
Hey, man, I'm completely honored to be able to kick off this series and be a part of your fantastic show and all the amazing individuals you have lined up to talk this midsummer review.
Well, it's we should have started it maybe a week or two ago, but better late than never, as we're now getting into, I guess, the latter part of midsummer. But it is going to be a fantastic series, and I'm very much looking forward to comparing and contrasting the answers we get from you, from Kevin McDonald, from Jared Taylor, Mark Weber, and the others who are going to be appearing over the course of the next 2 weeks. So let's start off with you right now, Paul, and I'm going to be asking these same questions of each and every one of our guests tonight and next Saturday. 2018, the current year, in your opinion, how is it progressing thus far for our movement and our people?
Well, for our movement in the United States, I think things are interesting, but I think what we have to do is, this is not going to be an answer you're probably wanting to hear, but we have to give Europe time to rise, and that is what President Trump's election truly has done. I think it's galvanized Europeans from Austria to Hungary to Czechoslovakia to Croatia. I think that there are stirrings, of course, with the Alternative for Deutschland and Germany. Look what the Swedish Democrats are doing. By the way, Democrat in Sweden is not a bad word. So those are the good guys who are rising against the multicultural diversity migrant colonization by the Third World that's been going on there. There's too many positive things going on right now in Eastern Europe, and it's beginning to trickle over into Western Europe as the European Union, with their stronghold in Brussels, is being held to the fire by a united front of Hungarians, Poland, and Austria. And it's just so beautiful to watch, especially with what's going on in Italy. Now, in the United States, obviously, we're in a much different predicament because, well, the white population, we really only have one choice, and that is to vote Republican. The Democrats are openly an anti-white party now. It's only going to get crazier. Just watch what's going to happen in Georgia with this Kemp versus Abrams race, which is basically a preview of 2020 when Donald Trump runs for re-election against the Democratic nominee. I'll go and tell you who it's going to be. It's going to be Kamala Harris. And I think that this Georgia election,
wow,
demographics are still on the Republican side in Georgia. And I think that Brian Kemp will win probably 54 to 46. But it's going to be a highly, highly shocking anti-white type rhetoric. They're going to say that Brian Kemp is just a white male, that it's time to step aside and the new South needs to rise. I mean, my gosh, there was a Time magazine cover story, James, featuring the Democratic challenger, Abrams, a very large black woman. And they do describe her as that. She's highly corpulent. And her corpulency is only exceeded by her personal debt and her IRS bill, which is I think it's a shocking number. I think, James, let me put it this way. You have fought so hard and for so long for white Southerners and also for whites nationwide. But I think we have to look at it beyond just the United States, and we have to realize that a President Hillary Clinton would probably be putting sanctions on Hungary and Poland and especially Italy for all that they're doing to protect their people and to stop the rising tide of color and the Camp of the Saints type moment that's been happening now for the past few years in Germany.
Paul, I think you're prescient, and there is a story I'm going to bring up when Jared appears with us next week as part of this series. I don't want to give away too much, but there is a mayor in Hungary who, his name is Laszlo Toroszkai. I'm not sure if you're familiar with him, but he's the mayor of a town of about 5,000, and he has just come out and flat out said Muslims are not going to be part of the fabric of this community. They don't assimilate, and we want exclusively white Europeans, white Christian Europeans is what he said is what he wants in this town. And this is a man that's not only the mayor of this town, but he has also started a new party, a political party, and they've already elected people into parliament. So I think what you said a moment ago is correct. Our hope right now lies in Eastern Europe specifically. And as Eastern Europe continues to rise, and we've seen what's gone on with Trump and Putin recently, we can take our hope from there for now. Here in America, you're also right. Right now, I think the midterms may favor the Republicans, at least for a little while longer. The Democrats are going hardcore left with people like Alexandria Cortez, and they know that that is the future. It's not going to serve them well, perhaps over the course of the next couple of months, with Trump having the carrot of the Supreme Court nominee hanging in the balance. But demographically speaking, it will serve them well in the long term, unless we take care of business right away on the border, unless we get very serious about our displacement and secure that border and button it up. The Democrats can't lose. All they have to do is set on the ball a few years from now. It's not going to matter, and the game's going to be over, unless we have an Eastern European type rising here. And it could happen. But that's the situation as I see it. Agree or disagree, Paul?
I completely agree. I would actually argue that the 2016 election was our European type moment. The problem is we have Benedict Arnold Republicans who are catering to the big business lobbyists, the Koch brothers, and who are doing everything possible to undermine the Trump agenda. Donald Trump, remember what Donald Trump ran on. He ran on a Trump deportation force, deporting illegal aliens and building a wall, and a very populist economic agenda. He's done a lot of positive things as president, but he's been unable to get the funding for the wall and to really start doing deportations. Now, we're seeing ICE unleashed. We're starting to see a number of businesses raided across the country, which I think is fantastic. It's selective enforcement. Start scaring illegal aliens. I mean, The Economist the other day, they ran some story. I saw it on Twitter where they were like, oh, gosh, I can't believe that Donald Trump is working. This is shocking what he's doing with these workplace raids. No, it's not shocking. Illegal immigration is illegal. There's nothing else to talk about. Every American, you know, if we're to believe that Donald Trump and Putin meeting together was somehow treason, as Democrats screamed, treason to who? Treason to what? There are 30 million illegals in this country, James. How can anybody honestly talk about treason with Putin and Trump wanting to have positive relations between the two greatest nuclear powers in the world when when San Francisco is talking about giving illegal aliens the right to vote? Come on, treason to what,
right,
guys?
No, that yeah, that's the treason. Yeah, treason. It's interesting how the word is applied. But we do have to have more than a president. We have to have members of Congress that are going to follow Trump's lead and understand that whether they like it or not, whether it's comfortable for them or not, the Republican Party, my God, there's not much good I can say about the Republican Party. Trump's the only Republican I think I've ever voted for. I've always voted third party.
I've never voted for Republican either until Donald Trump in 2016. I will tell you this vote down in Georgia, this Republican primary vote between Cagle and Kemp, the fact that Kemp, who ran a very, very fantastic populist Trumpian campaign against a Chamber of Commerce-style Republican in Cagle, Kemp destroyed him in the election. And I think that is very exciting that the Georgia electorate was motivated by the Trumpian language and just dominated this Chamber of Commerce guy in Cagle. And I'll tell you one more thing. They just had a unity rally, and I think it was somewhere in Atlanta this past couple days ago, where Cagle and Governor Nathan Deal, who endorsed Cagle, they showed up and they had a big moment where they said, we're going to unite together around Kemp, around Brian Kemp. This is not something we saw in Alabama with the ill-fated Roy Moore campaign, where everyone was afraid to endorse him. And of course, the hit that we saw with the mainstream corporate media attacking him right before the election. We're scaring away a lot of people. I really think that this upcoming election in Georgia is a very big moment.
All right, hang on right there, my friend. Paul Kersey, we've got him for one more segment. We've got a lot of people over the course of the next 2 weeks. Paul is kicking the entire parade off. He is our grand master, as it were. We've got him for one more segment. He's got more information to share with you. What a fantastic guest. Support his work. We're going to let you know how when we come back.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who bleeds the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Traveler's Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
We are back with Paul Kersey, and the way this is going to go during this two-week series is I'm going to be asking each guest his assessment on 2018, good, bad, indifferent, and why, and then we're going to get updates on their work and some recent news items that have piqued their interest, although I'm not actually going to give Paul that shot on the second part, the latter part, because there's something I specifically want to ask him. If you don't know, in addition to his writing, his books, his website, SBPDL, Paul also contributes to American Renaissance. He works with Jared Taylor. Jared and Paul have both been friends of mine for about the same amount of time, which would be forever. And they do a podcast regularly, and there is a new article at amren.com, or a fairly new article, that Paul has authored, and it centers around Hulk Hogan. Paul, can you tell us what that article was about?
Yeah, you know what? That's a fascinating topic. Hulk Hogan, of course, 3 years ago, during his lawsuit against Gawker for the sex tape that was leaked, he had an opportunity to settle out of court. He was basically threatened with having this audio release where he used the N-word, and he held his ground because he knew that he could really take him out. Of course, Peter Thiel was bankrolling the lawsuit. So Hogan had the courage to have this be released, and he basically became a non-person. The WWE, the World Wrestling Entertainment, they banished him from the Hall of Fame, and they took all mentions of him off the website, WWE.com, and they removed him from the WWE network, a lot of his matches. He was a non-person, and it just so happened that about 2 weeks ago, they decided to reinstate him to the WWE Hall of Fame. Now, your listeners can laugh, you know, primarily being in the South. Most of you probably grew up watching WTBS and WCW, the NWA, with Ric Flair. But Hulk Hogan, going back to the WWE, this is huge news. Guys, the WWE is a billion-dollar company. Its stock is trading at $83 a share. It is unbelievable how big this corporation is now. And for Hulk Hogan to have that opportunity to potentially come back out and have a crowd, hear the music, Real American again, you can't have a better moment to have a crowd cheer this man when the world media has been telling us we have to hate him for the past 3 years because of an audio tape that was leaked in 2015. The audio was, of course, from 2008. He had no idea he was being taped. It was a private conversation in his own home, and that was used to destroy him. And I think that really shows you just how evil the zeitgeist of our time is. But the fact is that Hogan is now reinstated, and it is inevitable, James, that he will appear on Monday Night Raw, or SmackDown, or a WWE Network event, and the crowd will give him a unbelievable ovation. And I think that's one of those moments where people freak out in the media, and they attack Vince McMahon and the WWE for giving a platform to, quote, racist, unquote, Hulk Hogan. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens at that point.
Well, that's actually why. I mean, it may be trivial to some people listening tonight, but there was a reason I asked you about that. And, folks, you can read Paul's article on Hulk Hogan at amren.com. And I would encourage you to do that. You mentioned a couple of things in the article. Number one, Hulk Hogan made wrestling what it is. In fact, you talk about all of these iconic wrestlers who came up and thanked him for building the sport to the extent where they could make their money. But much more than that, it is interesting. The same effect we've seen with Trump. I mean, Trump, they would have you to believe, is Hitler reincarnated, and yet he has, an 89% approval rating amongst Republicans, a historic level that even surpasses Bush with Mission Accomplished and all of that. So it's pretty interesting. The more the media tells people we should hate them, the more people seem to like them. And I think you're right. if Hulk Hogan appears before a live arena, an arena at one of these wrestling matches, it's going to bring the house down. But what was interesting about it is that Hulk Hogan being reinstated, yes, he made the sport what it was, but we've also seen, in contrast, in recent weeks, Roseanne basically had the biggest show on ABC Disney, and Papa John, Roseanne and Papa John were certainly given the guillotine. Perhaps they will have a chance a few years later to rehabilitate themselves as Hulk has been given. But how do you compare and contrast Hulk Hogan versus Roseanne and Papa John?
Well, you have to go back to 2015 when the stuff happened with Hulk Hogan. It was so fast, and it was so quick, and it was done in a malicious manner. He was in an unbelievably profile lawsuit with Gawker over the sex tape, and he had an opportunity to settle out of court. But, of course, Peter Thiel, who was bankrolling the lawsuit, they had a long conversation. There's a great book that was written. I can't think of the title of the book right now. Forgive me. Came out early this year, but Hulk Hogan had the courage to persist. He knew he was going to take his lumps. He had no idea that the WWE was going to have the guillotine come down on him, powered by SJW and anti-white momentum. But he didn't grovel, and he took his lumps, and he successfully sued Gawker, and he won in court. He won over $100 million in the judgment, and he said all the right things over the past couple of years. And I really believe that as long – I've read that Papa John is actually going to try and go to court to try and get his company back. Because
yeah, he's trying to come back. That's right.
Yeah, he said the N-word in a – it wasn't malicious what he said.
Yeah, he was cucking. Well, he was cucking when he said it.
yeah. So it's insane the way things are going. And Roseanne, you know what? She's going to fight back. I think she appeared on Sean Hannity's show, and she said some very positive things about she wasn't groveling at that point. And I think that's the most important thing. You can't grovel. You can't just say, oh, gosh, you know, I'm sorry. I can't believe I should never have said that. You know, you guess, look.
Hogan never curries favor. You can never curry favor with these people.
And in Hogan's case, he said it in 2008. He had no idea he was being taped, and it was used against him.
It's like with Paula Deen. Paula Deen admitted she said it during a bank robbery decades ago, and it's still gone.
Remember what happened to Paula Deen. She lost her show, but her book for about a week, all of her cookbooks on Amazon went to number one. It was incredible. I remember that like it was yesterday. And, you know, you have to think about it this way, the whole Roseanne thing. Look what Mike Cernovich and Jack Posobiec uncovered with the pedophile tweets by James Gunn. Now, all of these people were defending James Gunn. Oh, he's such a great man. He's so amazing. When everybody in Hollywood and in pop culture were so quick to castigate Roseanne and say, oh, she should not have a show. She shouldn't even be allowed on TV or in respectable society anymore. So when you think about the totem pole of what is acceptable in public discourse, apparently pedophilia is now more conducive than quote unquote using the N-word or any racial talk.
That's right. So you're 100% right.
That tells you all anyway, you know about 2018 America.
In America. Although, thankfully, there are other parts of the Western world, the white world, where our people are healthy and thriving, and unfortunately, it's about as far away from us as you can get, Eastern Europe, but there is hope, and if there's hope somewhere, there can be hope everywhere. Now, Paul, we have just about a minute or two remaining, and I want to come back full circle. Now, if we're going to seize on this opportunity that Trump has given us, there's going to have to be more than just Donald Trump. We're going to have to elect members to the House and to Congress that have a modicum of backbone. And so we'll see whether or not that can happen. But give us your contact information, Paul. How can people help you, and how can people continue to read and hear more of your commentary?
Hey, James, I appreciate that. Really, if you want to get in touch with me, shoot me an email at sbpdl1@gmail.com. Once again, that's sbpdl1@gmail.com. Or you can go to sbpdl.com and just check out the latest writing. I try and do it every day, and I do a couple pieces a week for your fantastic site, and I'm trying to get back to doing a piece every week for Brimlow's wonderful site, BeDare.com, as well. There's only so many hours in a day, though. But, James, I just want to tell you and your audience, keep doing everything that you can. You've been a courageous fighter for going on 2 decades, and your audience is fantastic, to quote the great Donald Trump. And the main thing is, don't get discouraged. Is the main thing that I can leave and parting with your audience in this conversation. There's too many positive things happening, and if you persist, that's half the battle. So,
well, thank you so much for saying that, Paul. And of course, you know that every bit of respect and appreciation you may have for our work is certainly reciprocated towards you. I appreciate your friendship. I appreciate the inspiration that you provide all of us, and certainly your good work. And if more of us can do it, we can make a difference in this thing. And if nothing else, we're going to stoke the embers until something changes. But we are seeing that change in other parts of the world, and we're hoping that it will come soon to a city near us. And Paul has written about these cities, though, where the exact opposite has happened. Selma, Detroit, etc. Follow his work, read his books, support him. Paul Kersey, thank you so much. Godspeed. We'll talk to you again soon.
Hey, remember, our enemies have to win every day. We only have to win one.
Amen. Thank you.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
If Planned Parenthood were what they publicly declare themselves to be, they would welcome transparency. We all know why they hide, because we know what they hide. We can confirm federal judges who follow the Constitution rather than reverse engineer their preferred policy outcomes. The truth about abortion is spreading because of advances in medical imaging, because of brave journalists, tireless activists, compassionate doctors, nurses, and other healthcare professionals. The rising generation of young Americans is the most pro-life in decades because they know too. And one day soon, we will reaffirm our nation's principles in their dignified fullness and avow once again that all men are created equal. All are entitled to life.
Abby Johnson was once director of a Planned Parenthood clinic in Bryan, Texas. After a moral crisis, she quit, and now she campaigns against what she once endorsed.
They implement abortion quotas in all of their clinics.
What do you mean, quotas?
You have to perform a certain number of abortions every month. One of the reasons that I left...
Are they explicit about that?
Yes. It's in your budget, right there on the line item. One of the reasons I left Planned Parenthood was because in a budget meeting, I was told to double that abortion quota. And for me, as someone who had spoken to the media and had said, you know, we're about reducing the number of abortions, we're about, you know, prevention, all of these other services, I was shocked to
hear
that.
So since you actually worked at a Planned Parenthood, give us some sense of the relative number of abortions.
Okay, abortions, Planned Parenthood provides over 330,000 abortions a year. They are the largest single abortion provider in our country.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Well, how about that, ladies and gentlemen? Paul Kersey. Paul Kersey. As I take a drink of sweet tea. Hang on a minute. There it goes. little sweet tea here in the South. It is the South, after all, and that's how we drink our tea down here, with about a half gallon of cane sugar in every glass. Paul Kersey, folks, that reminds me of why I have stuck to it and done this show every week, week in, week out, for 14 years. 14 years. And aren't you glad? I'm glad. I hope you are. That there is something that you can count on. You don't have to worry when you wake up each day wondering if there's going to be content on Saturday night. We stay lit for you, ladies and gentlemen. We produce and deliver content every week like clockwork, no matter what. No matter if we're sick, no matter if we're out of town, no matter if we're under attack, no matter if we want to, don't want to, full of vigor or just dragging in, we give it to you. And we give it to you with a lot of energy. And 14 years, that is a long time. But we've done it every week, and it's thanks to guests like Paul Kersey and listeners like you that we have been able to do that. And it's plain to see. TPC is the only mainstream radio show that takes you behind the scenes, like to these different conferences we've been at this year, AMRIN, Nationalist Solutions, League of the South, and invites high-quality guests like those, well, like Paul Kersey, namely, and like the rest of the ones you're going to hear over the course of this week and next, and really every week on this show, whose message would be hushed up or otherwise distorted by the establishment media. Now, if you appreciate the contributions we make in facilitating free and open discussion on vitally important issues, we ask that you please remember to support our important work. Support us. Contribute to us financially, prayerfully, or both, preferably. We sure do need it. We sure do need it. It is tough to make ends meet. It is always tough. We're a nationally syndicated radio show. We are the only establishment media outlet that, or mainstream media, we're not establishment, God knows, but we are mainstream on the AM radio, that our movement has. And it gets tougher every day to continue what we do. We have been shadow banned on Twitter. That's the latest thing. I noticed, you know, we were late joining Twitter. We've been on Twitter for almost 2 years, a little under 2 years. And we had a pretty rapid ascension on Twitter. I think the first day on Twitter, we gained several hundred followers, and we worked our way up to about 4,500 followers, and then it just plateaued for about the last year. It's just plateaued. Was it something I said? I couldn't understand why we reached 4,500 followers so quickly on Twitter, and then we just kind of stalled out. Well, I found out this week, thanks to our good friend, the gentleman who runs the Kosher-tified app, the kosherquestion.com. You hear his ads quite often on this program. Fantastic man, good friend. And he said he put me wise to this whole shadow ban phenomenon. Now, what is shadow ban? You know, actually, some other listener contacted me months ago and said, "You've been shadow banned on Twitter." And I logged in. I said, "No, I can still see myself there. I'm not banned." Jared Taylor is banned. Jared Taylor was completely obliterated off of Twitter. And by the way, Jared was banned from Twitter, completely scrubbed from the site because they said he worked to incite violence. It just goes to just show what a joke our adversaries are. Jared Taylor incites violence. Jared Taylor is such a gentleman that he makes Mr. Rogers look like Mick Jagger. And so now that's a guy that's been banned. So I thought, well, I'm not banned. I can still log in. I can still see my followers. I can still tweet. So I haven't been banned. But no, there's a difference between being nuked like Jared was and being shadow banned. So, but there is a reason why I've had the same number of followers on Twitter for the better part of a year. Upon further research, I found that most of my associates have also been shadow banned, but not so for violent left-wing radicals. Now, I want to again thank the Kosher Question for putting me wise to this. So what it means to be shadow banned. To be shadow banned means that your followers can see your tweets, but you are otherwise banned. Other people are otherwise not going to see you in polite conversation. And that's one of the things that Twitter says, is that Twitter says that they want to prevent unhealthy conversations. And so they banned people who contribute to unhealthy conversations by shadow banning them, meaning that they're banned to everyone except those who already follow them. So you're basically preaching to the choir. Well, I'll tell you this, though. I put out a thing about being shadow banned, and less than 12 hours later, Donald Trump put out something about being shadow banned. Now, Trump himself wasn't shadow banned, but he said other prominent advocates were. He said, it's not good. We're going to look into this discriminatory and illegal practice at once. Many complaints. Now, this shadow banning hasn't been something that's been a top news item. I posted it, though, 12 hours later. The president says something about it. Certainly could be a coincidence. But then again, you have to factor into the account all of the press that TPC and yours truly brought for Donald Trump and certainly Donald Jr. during the campaign, and they were intimately tied to us and us them for reasons real and imagined, and of course the Trump campaign had to respond to, had to make statements about me a couple of times during that campaign. So it is feasible, it is plausible that somebody in the president's administration could be monitoring what we're doing. But I did a little inventory, and pretty much all of my associates have been banned. Richard Spencer, Jared Taylor. Well, Jared Taylor's completely gone. I mean, shadow banned. Richard Spencer, David Duke, Ramsey Paul, even Isla Stewart, wife with a purpose. They've all been banned. So what is the shadow ban? So this went into effect earlier this year as part of Twitter's so-called Healthy Conversation Project. So a lot of interaction with accounts affected by the shadow ban will cause you to be shadow banned as well. So if you're friends with a lot of people who have been shadow banned, you're going to get shadow banned. The absence, this is key, the absence of personal misbehavior, that would be crude, derogatory comments, threats of violence, etc., that does not guarantee an account to be unaffected. And of course, we can attest to that because we have never conducted ourselves as anything less than gentlemen in public and private on Twitter, etc. So it doesn't have anything to do with what you say or what you think. It has all to do with whether or not they want to ban you or not. Now, it was interesting that several German Twitter users associated with a conservative or right-wing political party in Germany were shadow banned. But they found a way to get unshadow banned. You know what they did? They followed a bunch of radical Muslims. They followed a bunch of Muslim accounts, a bunch of Muslim users, and they got unshadow banned. And the theory is, of course, that they must not be bad guys if they're following Muslim accounts. So they got unshadow banned by following a sufficient number of supporters of the anti-white regime. Certainly, the quality filter seems mainly to affect conservative and right-wing accounts. So basically, only my followers can now see my tweets, and you can purposefully search me out, and I can still add new followers, but it only is really enough to compensate for the natural attrition that we face. And so that's where we stand. Another day, another struggle, another battle here in TPC. I'm actually going to go to a text message I exchanged that I had with Mr. Co-Certified. And he wrote to me, and I appreciate him saying this. He said, at least you're living an adventure. Think how mundane and boring most people's lives are. You're experiencing the Faustian spirit, and the timing in history couldn't be more exciting with our civilization at stake. Well, that's for sure. That's for sure. I enjoy the struggle. I enjoy being able to go out there and stand up for our people. I enjoy being able to serve as your voice on radio. I enjoy having been here for 14 years, really predating most everybody that has a media outlet in our movement. Somebody said recently we were an icon. TPC was an icon. Well, I don't know about all that. Maybe we are, maybe we aren't. I guess that's up to personal interpretation. But we have been here for a long time. We've been doing good work for a long time, and we're universally respected in our movement, as we talked about earlier. And we tend to get along with everybody and work well with everybody. But we do take a lot of attacks. I mean, this year has been very interesting. My entire church got kicked out of the Southern Baptist Convention. We've been shadow banned on Twitter. We can't send emails anymore from official thepoliticalcesspool.org email addresses. It's a hard knock life, as they said in Annie. But you, ladies and gentlemen, keep us going. You keep us going, and we need you to keep us going, because I am telling you, the noose is tightening. It is harder and harder to take in contributions. It is harder and harder to send out emails. It's harder and harder to have a social media presence. It's harder and harder to go to church. I mean, it is. They attack us from every front that they can. And the only thing that keeps us going, the only thing, ladies and gentlemen, that keeps us going, we talked about being here every week for 14 years, providing you with an all-star lineup of guests who should be on Fox News and CNN and MSNBC every night offering their opinions because they're that good, but they can't because they're dissidents and they have a message that is truthful and is righteous and is just. And so they can't get on those outlets, but they have an outlet here that they can get on, and we provide that for them thanks to you. And we take you behind the scenes to events that you would like to go to but perhaps couldn't because you have to work for a living, unlike our enemies. Folks, if you want us to continue, you've got to support us, and we need your support. Support us financially. Support us. And we'll be back as we continue our midsummer review with Mark Weber. He's next. Stay tuned.
Another hour of the political cesspool is in the can, but don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.